Hi, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Amanda. And this is The Pursuit of Badassery, the podcast.
This podcast is all about taking action and creating that badass business abundance and life that you want.
Where we share stories, laughs, wins, and epic fails to show you the whole picture of the entrepreneurial journey.
It's not just unicorns and rainbows, people.
Jump on and follow us through this raw and witty roller coaster.
Where we get down and dirty and go behind the scenes of life and entrepreneurship.
Get on it.
Get over it.
And get after it.
Hey, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Amanda. Welcome to The Pursuit of Badassery, the podcast. Back again, dynamic duo. And today we're talking about coaching. Coaching consulting. Obviously, Lynn and I are both coach consultants, strategists, all the things. But we want to talk about the difference between and the pros and cons between one-on-one coaching and group coaching. A lot of people ask us this question of like, which one should I do? Is one better for me? And we want to break down what it looks like to be in a group coaching program versus a one-on-one consult program, not just ours, but in general.
Absolutely.
So it's not just talking about us. We're talking about in general, because Lynn and I have been in many programs ourselves. We've had many coaches ourselves.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Probably hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point between the two of us. So let's talk a little bit about the best parts of it and the parts that aren't so great.
Absolutely. I do love this topic for a couple of reasons. And I do want to make it clear for those of you that are just learning, Amanda and I, like we are both trained coaches. We have taken many courses and have certifications, et cetera. However, we do tend to sit more with a consulting hat versus a coaching hat. And really for those that need the difference is a coach is more of asking the questions to have you come to your own conclusions and ahas, where a consultant will not only use coaching skills, the powerful questions, the active listening. However, they will utilize their own knowledge, their own resources, and they're kind of like more side by side with you versus that golden light in a lot of ways. I mean, that's the simplified. And even with our personal programs, we definitely sit with both hats. So, And I want you to be aware, because a lot of times people get into coaching programs and they're like, it's not what I expect. And that's because it's either one or the other, the more traditional coaching, either program solo or in a group. It's more like traditional coaching. And they're like, I want people to tell me what to do. Like I ask myself questions all day. Like I don't need somebody else. Like having me analyze myself. And then there are others where like, they're like, no, I really, and there's power to both, that they want to come to their own, that they want to be guided or come to their own conclusion. Like there's power to both. So just be aware. And it's just something that you might want to kind of dig into yourself and ask, which one will fit more of where, who, what I need and where I'm at and where I want to go. Because if you're going to resist it, and that also goes with solo versus group, one-on-one versus group as well. If you're going to resist it, then you're throwing your money for nothing.
Yes. And if you're not going to do the work, no matter which it is. So if it's a group program, if it's a one-on-one, if it's a coaching scenario where they are guiding you through it, or consulting where they're doing some of that work for you or helping connect you with other people, either way, if you don't do the work, it's never going to work for you. And I actually, it reminds me of one of the podcasts we did with Steve Sims, where he talks about giving free services to a family member and how they just were like, yeah, like I need your help. And then you give them all the help and then they don't follow through. And you wonder why they're in the same place or worse a year later after a year of coaching and they're in the same place. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it, because it's spot on what it's like to work with as a coach, or as a coach consultant, to work with someone who doesn't put in the work. And then at the end of the term, they're like, well, how come I didn't get better? I'm like, well, you didn't do anything I said. So there's that.
Yeah. I agree. I love that you brought up that point, because regardless, individual, group, consulting, and or coaching, you still have to like step up and put in the work. So I do love that. I do love that.
And there are some like higher end consulting some higher end consulting work that even I have done where they bring you in and they really do want you to do all the work. So like you come in and you are doing 100% of the work and you're getting paid to do the work. So a lot of times you'll see companies bring in somebody to do the hiring and firing and to like check productivity. And they come in and they interview all the employees and they talk to all the managers and then they make the decisions about who stays and who goes or how they restructure things. So in those cases, it's a different type of, that's not really coaching consulting. That's really just more a consultant coming in and doing the work. So that there are instances where that is a thing as well. So it's
absolutely, well,
a very large range of options.
Yeah. Both of us do that, especially for our bigger clients. And
it's really fun.
It is fun. I do love that. We could do a whole other episode on that. Let's get down to the solo versus group though. So now that we have some kind of like understanding of the differences between coaching, consulting, and like what your part is in it. Let's go ahead and get down to, let's do solo pros first.
Yes. So obviously the number one pro about solo is that it's all about you. Any issue you're having, it's the actual problems that you're having. And they really get to break down what is it that's working and what's not working in your systems and processes, in your, you know, this everything, every part of your sales process, every part of your funnels, everything that goes down in your company, you can talk to and really refine very specifically. And as problems arise, you really do get that one-on-one attention of this is happening right now, let's fix it. And that is something you can't get in any group scenario because it's that one-on-one attention is, it's exactly what it is. It's all you. So when you're in that consult call or when they're talking with you, like it is 100% about your issues and your problems. And it is very tailored to what challenges you're facing within your business.
No, absolutely. I agree. And I would say, by the way, there are many types of coaches and consultants. So it could be life, it could be spiritual, it could be whatever. We tend to be primarily business. So that's why Amanda's using that as an example. So I love, yes, personalized attention and that deep dive into and the nitty gritties. And it allows for that depth of exploration for, even the cause and effect. So the bigger picture, I feel like with solo or individualized training or coaching or consulting you guys end up getting to the bigger picture as well and the nitty gritty. So it's just like, it's kind of the whole roadmap versus like just little bits and pieces here and there. And we'll talk about the group side here in a second, but yeah, I would definitely say that. I'd also say with solo is obviously the confidentiality because it's just you and your coach consultant. And we'll call them a coach for now, but it's just you and the coach, right? So that confidentiality is like, especially for those that have some really, that maybe have some internal things. And I've dealt with a few clients over the years that have a really hard time. My business partner can too. That's very private at times, right? And very like, doesn't want to let things out there. So, I've had some clients who are just like, you know, either it's trade secrets or it's personal, that they're just very protective and very secretive, and or maybe just a sensitivity, but or not. Maybe you don't have any of those, but you want that freedom of that safe, confidential space. And I believe that, you know, obviously with the individualized, that affords you that ability that it can stay in that container, if you would.
Yes. Confidentiality is a big thing. And that could be industry specific. Like some industries are much more concerned about the confidentiality than others. And like you said, trade secrets are always a thing. It's, you can't beat the private, personalized, confidential experience you have with a one-on-one coaching contract. So that's for sure one of the top things about it. Now, obviously there's cons to everything. So The biggest
Oh, wait,
con
wait.
I
I have
think
one more pro here.
please do.
I do have one more pro is that it's also a bit more flexible because it is just you and the coach. So you have a bit more flexibility. But also, and Amanda, I'd love to hear what you think about this. I feel, even though we personally are really good in group settings as well, trying to hold the accountability, but in one-on-one or solo or small, like it might be you and your business partner or something that could be considered as solo business consulting coaching. The accountability is so much higher
Yeah,
because
that's true.
it's you have nowhere to hide. It's just you and
Yes.
your coach. So I think that we need to throw that in there as well. And I love that part because actually a lot of people hire me one-on-one for a few different reasons, but one of the highest reasons why people love working with me one-on-one is that no nonsense, raw accountability.
Oh yeah, there's definitely, and actually I feel like it's one of the first things I talk about when like my very first consult call with someone after they've hired me. I'm like, let me just break this down now. I'm not going to be nice to you. Like, I'm nice, but I'm going to hold you accountable for everything. I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff. There's not going to be any fluff. So, but that's just both of our personalities. We're very much like that. However, 100%, if you miss a call, I'm going to notice right away. I'm going to call you right away if you miss the call. Like, there's no escaping it. Whereas if you're in a really large group scenario or some like large coaching program where there's hundreds of thousands of people in the same program at the same time, you can definitely slip under the radar and nobody really knows. And it's all personal accountability, which is important too, because even in a personal one-on-one arrangement, you still have personal accountability. You still have stuff you have to do. But when the coach calls you and is literally saying, WTF, where were you today? It's pretty hard to have any other excuse because they know there's just no cheating that.
No. Okay, now go to the cons. Sorry, I had to throw
All
that
right,
one in
so
there.
cons. And actually it's not a really big con for me, but I know it's one of the number one objections I think we would hear was the cost. A one-on-one consulting is going to cost more than a group because it's one-on-one. You're getting 100% of their attention, you're 100% of their time, 100% of their resources. So I think that's, but for me, because of what you get, because of the positive sides of it, when I hire a coach one-on-one, I don't have a problem paying the price because I know it's worth that price. And those are the results I expect to get out of it. If it's X amount of dollars, I expect to get X amount of ROI because of what they're promising and what I've signed up for. So that's my side of it but that's one of the number one things you hear is that it's a large investment, and you have to decide how bothersome is your problem that you're hiring the coach for to fix, and how much is that going to cost you, and the total amount. The other one that's that I think is a con for it is that actually there really aren't any cons. I don't think there's any cons to having one-on-one. Well, I think if you clash with your coach, there's no one else to go to. So if you've hired a one-on-one and you thought it was the right fit, and then a month into it, you don't feel like you're the right fit, I think that can be a challenge. Or if it wasn't what you expected, like you mentioned earlier, like it just didn't meet this expectation you had, that can be rough because there's no one else to reach out to. There's no additional coach or group or project leader, it's just you and that one person. So if you don't like the things we say, that's tough. And that's really hard to hear sometimes.
You don't throw a fit, like
Yeah, you get what you get. You don't throw a fit.
I would say at the end, let's come back to like how to hire the right person because I think that that's a great point, but let's come back to that. So I want to touch on the two points that you said is one with costs. Absolutely. Solo coaching is going to be more expensive. And I do want to make a comment, and Amanda is our money person out of the two of us. So of course she's like, I'm going to get the return on investment in money. But here's the thing. Coaching isn't always about return on investment and money. However, it is what you're going to get. And actually, a coach, a consultant cannot promise you the amount that you're going to receive unless they are fully doing it themselves. And still, they have they cannot 100% guarantee that. And so I've had this conversation with people a few times, and they'll ask me, you know, well, more than a few, it feels like, I would say about a fourth of the people that prospects that I interview, and they ask about the ROI and how I'll receive it back. And at the end of the day, I can lead the horse to water. I can show you the door. But I can't make you drink. I can't make you go through it. And that's kind of the concept that a coach should have, is like, we can show you all the things, and you might not be hiring somebody to get return on investment. You might in finances, but it is a return on investment. Is it helping you set up foundations? Is it helping you get shit done? Is it helping you reorganize your life? Is it helping you actually get out of that space to be able to have better productivity or whatever that is? But so understanding why you're hiring them, having a really clear picture of what you want returned in on that. And then that also, and we'll get to this at the end about like helping you make a better choice, but that cost is a factor with solo. But again, this is individualized, customized to you and your needs and what you're needing at that time. And that's what it should be. And as far as, you know, I do love that you brought that up, Amanda, about like, it's just you and your coach and you get what you get, you don't throw a fit. So I will say that it does give more of an isolation or like a siloed effect where, especially depending on the coach consultants, like network or expertise, you might find yourself like kind of siloed and where you, and sometimes that can fall on deaf ears, right? Once you've been working with somebody for a while, which is interesting because I've had coaching consulting clients for almost 10 years. I've had a couple businesses that have been working with me, and most coach consultants tend to work like a year to 3 years is max type of thing. But I think it also depends on the coach consultant, what they can bring and what they do for your company. But that would be another con, is almost like the limited perspective or the isolation aspect. However, if your coach or consultant, and I think this is where I kind of like, where maybe we struggle with this, Amanda, because we are constantly learning. We are constantly pushing ourselves individually, like outside of our, we do have a lot of knowledge, but we are constantly networking and finding new things. So, but I would assume that we are, not everybody is like that from our own like data. Why? I know that not everybody's like that. So, but that might happen. And I've worked with coaches where I've outgrown them very quickly. Spiritual coaches, business coaches, and a few in between, where I'm like, okay, like your 1, 2, 3 is not working for me anymore. And that doesn't mean that they're not great at what they do. It's just I've outgrown them.
Yeah. I mean, different reasons are different seasons. Like there's all sorts of reasons that you use. And like you said, some coaches you might have for a really, really long time, and others you really only need them for 6 or 9 months or for a specific project. And it's not that they weren't good enough that you would continue with them. It's that you've outgrown that challenge. Like you don't need that particular type of coaching. You might need something else. And, you know, I think there's this big misconception around coaching that it's either like, I have to be coached forever, like a therapist, like, oh, I'm forever going to have to be with this coach. And, or conversely, that a coach is only there to fix that one problem. And then there's nothing else that they do. And I move on. Like, I think that there, a coach can be way more than that. And there's more than one coach you might need in your life. It's not like there's only one coach that will solve everything in your life. And, you know, speaking of like ROI, I mentioned ROI because I'm a business coach, so obviously my mind always goes to numbers and business. But if you're getting a coach for something spiritual to deal with trauma, like the result you get is going to be different than a business consultant. Obviously, you're hiring them for a different reason. And so you have to understand that the return you get on that will most likely not be monetary in those cases. And there are these still some benchmarks or expectations that you might have set up for yourself. And along with those, one thing I will say, like a red flag that I will push out there, I know we're going to talk a bit about how to choose the right coach, but one of the red flags that I will always point out to people is if they guarantee X amount of dollars in X amount of days, run. Because unless they're doing the 100% of the work themselves and are guaranteeing that they won't stop doing that work until you hit that number. No, you can't guarantee that they'll triple, double, quadruple. They can give you the steps that could lead you to that outcome if you do everything and you follow all the things. But if someone's telling you that they're going to give you, get you to a six-figure, seven-figure month in 3 weeks, run very fast and very far.
Very fast.
Very, very far.
You know, it's interesting when you're talking about this. One other thing that I want to make note about, and I know that us as the coachees or being coached or consultees, so the ones being consulted, is we actually do implement and put in the work. Like when we're putting our money where our mouth is, like we're actually doing, and I'm thinking of a company that we're, a marketing company that we're working with right now. And, you know, if they need something, like they're like, oh, get on the next call. We're like, no, we have it done now. Like, but we are very quick to act. And I will say that to me, when you have a good coach consultant and you're not getting necessarily the ROI, there are a couple of factors. Is one is you're not putting in the work. And so a coach or consultant should make that very clear from jump. They're not here to take it over unless you're hiring them for that. And that's more like project management consulting-ish type of thing, more or less. But they're like, they're a 1099, as we'd say in the US. Like, you know, they're like a contractor for you at that point. But just keep in mind that you have to put in the work, unless, like Amanda said, they're doing 100% of the work, but they still can't. And I think that that's a slight disconnect, or there's a misalignment or lack of understanding of where you want to go. So that's sometimes why it won't work. But let's get into group coaching. So, what are some pros that you think when you think of group coaching, Amanda?
Some of the biggest pros are the energy and the access to an instant network of people who are like-minded. I think that is so invaluable. If you really are in a group coaching program with the intention of lifting each other up, I mean, obviously I don't believe in, I'm not a really true believer in competition within businesses, because I think there's a room for us all. And if you really want to be competitive, just be better and then stop worrying about competing with people. And in a group coaching scenario, you really have this instant network of people who have like problems, like challenges, have solutions that you haven't thought of, have ideas. And if you're really open about what you're facing, you're going to get way more support than you would ever have gotten from your families and friends. And I just think that that's so underrated, because as entrepreneurs, it's very lonely, even when you have a support system, because your staff doesn't need to hear it. It's not part of their job description to hear you complain about everything in your business. Your spouse or significant other is tired of hearing about you complain about this thing that you were going to create to build you up. Your friends will never understand, even once you have businesses, if they're not in the same kind of role or in the same place, they may not really have the bandwidth to discuss it with you, nor are your friends instantly supposed to become your clients. And I think a lot of times people start businesses and they're like, oh, well, all my friends will be my clients. And then they get this harsh reality check when they realize that their friends are just their friends, and supporting you doesn't mean paying you. And I think that's really difficult for a lot of entrepreneurs. And so you get into this space, as in a group coaching space, where everybody has those challenges and you finally get to vent a little bit, and not only vent, but find solutions for those issues, find solutions for those challenges. And that is something that is, and you're networking with people from, depending on how wide a span of a group coaching, it could be within the same industry, it could be across the globe. And there's just an infinite network of people they know and resources they have that could benefit you. And that is so incredible to see when it really works out. It just, the amount of people lighting each other up is fantastic. It's my favorite thing about a group coaching.
No, absolutely. I would agree with you that community, and I would say that collective community, and a few other aspects of that is also you get diverse perspectives, because it's not siloed, right? So you, a lot of times, especially when it's set up properly, there is like communication of some sort amongst the participants, not just those that are leading the group. And so you can get other perspectives, also skill observation, so you can see what other people are doing. And, you know, it's a collectiveness. So you can borrow this or take this, or like, you know, learn from this, have an aha here. And it is help moving the whole forward, besides the whole not feeling alone, the support aspect, the light aspect. But I, I do love that. Also, too, sometimes, you know, because there's so many things that we can talk about, there's always a million things that we can be doing. And, you know, we might not think to ask that question, but in a group setting, different perspectives and ideas and you know, problems are being brought up. And that might like trigger something in you, or might say, oh man, I don't have that. I should probably get that done. And so I feel like you get a broader kind of aspect and kind of like overview of what could be happening in your business, and then you putting in the work. The other thing that I'll add to that too is obviously it can be more cost effective. Usually group programs are less expensive than individualized. And so especially with, you know, new entrepreneurs who want to dip their toe, or who have not been in coaching, or even people who've been around a while who need to just watch their budget or just want that community base with the energy, you know, cost effective, it's definitely more cost effective and more accessible and for that, for a broader audience, I would say.
Yeah. Should we talk cons, or do you have another pro?
Sure. No, I think so.
All right. So the biggest con is, for me, is that lack of individual attention. So if you have a really intense project that you're working on that just is highly sensitive or really needs a lot of one-on-one, you might not find that in a group coaching. You might still be able to touch on it. However, you won't be able to dedicate 100% of whatever the group coaching is on your issues, because it is a collective. And most of the time when you're in a group coaching scenario, the you know, the coaches will answer your issues, but also will be addressing the entire group. So it might not be as 100% personalized to what's going on with your world and your target market and your, you know, demographic as you want it to be. So I think that can be a challenge. Also, way less accountability. It's way easier to stand in the back of the room and not participate and just listen to everybody else and not ask questions and be the wallflower when you are in a group coaching scenario, because even though you might be called out on things, in the end, you don't have as much accountability because it is a group scenario. So you can hide a bit easier from the powers that be when you're in that scenario.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, I know a lot of group coaching programs do the hot seat, where you can get a little deeper into a particular problem or issue or solution that's needed, depending on how you look at it or what's going on. But I would definitely say that lack of individualized attention gives more of a broader overview, with maybe some questions answered here and there. And it's more about moving the whole forward versus the individual. So it really, there's a lot of self-reliance to like take what you need and implement what you need, versus where the individualized, you're going to have more of like, this is what we need, this is how we're going to move forward. Only a couple other things that I think maybe kind of come into play here is there is limited confidentiality. I mean, in group coaching and consulting, like they definitely like try to hold the space as best as possible. And then the last thing I would say is, because there are difference in goals typically. So there's a lot of different directions that are happening. Again, you can look at this as a positive though, because it might bring up things that you're like, man, I never even thought about that. Or wow, like it's almost what I call indirect manifestation. A topic might be being spoken about, but because you're in the room and because other things are happening, you have this other aha that's not completely attached to what's being discussed, but this was kind of like the spark that helped that, right? So I think, you know, in hindsight, cons can be also looked at as a positive, depending on like how you want to spin it and solution. But I think that that's pretty much it. What do you say?
I think the other one that has happened to me personally, so I will just say this is what happened to me when I did a group coaching program years ago, is I work at a very, Lynn and I talk about it all the time. I work at a very fast pace and I was working faster than the group. And so I felt limited because my speed of implementation was so much faster than the group. So in that group dynamic, I wasn't really allowed to move ahead. And that's also specific to the structure of that particular group. We had to move at the same speed, and that frustrated me because I was faster. So I know that's a very specific thing, but
that's a great point to because some are structured that way, and I love that. It's almost like the really smart kid who get like then they get distracted and then their grades drop because they're like but also like that reminded me of like I've been a part of many group, especially during COVID, and because everything's on like so many things are online now, especially the group programs, is a lot of times they don't offer the flexibility of the that obviously a solo one would. And so the timings might not be being living in an Asian country right now and different things like that. And then I would feel like I get behind even though I'm following the homework and doing the stuff. So I would get frustrated that they're not offering it at like a collective time that would be good. So it's also, I think that goes into like finding what program's good for you. So let's get into like how to choose either solo or group, how to choose a program, because we are coaches and consultants. We believe in it. And there have been times, I think the most I've had at one time were 5 different kind of coach, consultant, mentor, therapist. But like I grouped them all into one and they were helping me with different aspects of my life. Yeah, so you can obviously have multiple, and that doesn't even include the networking groups that I belong to. Anyway, how do people choose?
I think the number one thing you need to identify is what do you want to get out of it? Like, what kind of coach consultant are you looking for? Because if you think you need someone to help you with your mindset, but it really turns out that you just don't have any sales processes or anything, what is the actual root of what you're working on? Is it a combination of things where you need someone who has more skill sets than one, or is it a very hyper-focus? Like I only need help on building a sales funnel in ClickUp. That's a very specific coach who could teach you that very specific thing. And there are coaches that teach just that one thing, or I just need help on Facebook ads. And there are coaches that just help on Facebook ads. So do you need something hyper-focused or do you need something that's more broad? So like, for example, I think Lynn and I, for example, are very broad that we can cover a lot of topics in the same coaching session. I might hit more finances than Lynn does, and she might hit more, you know, compassion and like people and building networks more than I do. So there are strengths and weaknesses that each coach is going to have. And you want to ask those things, like, what are you guys going to focus on? What are the strengths that they're going to pull out? What are they going to cover? Like, what's a coaching session look like? What's the breakdown of that? Because if their number one thing is not even on your radar, then that's not the coach for you. But Absolutely. If they cover more things than you have, you know, there's just a lot of things to look at there. But so you really have to think about, what are you actually trying to accomplish? What is your goal? What are your challenging points that you're dealing with? And what's the outcome you're looking for? Because that will help you tailor what kind of coach you're looking for.
Absolutely. One thing I'll add here too, and then I'll get into the other point is, and maybe we should do a podcast about this in total, just for coaches and consultants, is there is a difference between proactive coaching and reactive coaching. And so you as an individual need to understand what type of coach that you want, because a lot of times coaches don't understand that they're that type of coach. So reactive means you just need somebody to help you climb out of the shit that you're in at that time. Like, help me right now. But if you're very solution oriented and forward thinking, then you want to look for a proactive coach, somebody who's going to take you and still pull you along into the vision. You might still need to like deal with what's happening in that day, but you want somebody who can take you forward. And neither one is bad. It's just a lot of people don't understand that there's the two. And so a lot of times what I found is coaches get siloed and the consult coachees get siloed into reactive, and there's not as much growth in everything, because they're putting out fires all the time versus figuring out how to fix that and grow. But I would say also it needs to be an interview process. It needs to be the right fit for both, including the coach consultant. There are plenty of times where I am not your fit. But I will say, whoever's listening to this, like, be mindful if you're the coach, like, to say you're not my right fit, or if you are the person looking to hire a coach or consultant, or get into a group program, that this isn't the right fit for me. But there should be some interviewing process. Like, are they going to push you out of your comfort zone? Are they going to be your yes person, or are they, because there's, you can have a cheerleader, but you want somebody who's actually going to push you out of where you're at. And are they in alignment with where I want to go? Like, I feel like coach consultants, there needs to be some, at least a little bit of an alignment with the values, the core values, because otherwise you're constantly going to have conflict. And you have to kind of like each other. Like, you have to kind of like each other. Because if it's just like raw, even though I know I might be able to help people, like if it's going to be completely resistant the whole time because our energies, our attitudes, our personalities clash the whole time, I'm not going to exhaust myself as a coach consultant to cater to that. And so I shouldn't take that client.
Yeah, it reminds me of an accountant that I used to work with. So I was a coach for an accountant. So she had an accounting business. And she used to say, like, we worked a lot because she wanted to take everybody. Her big thing is like, I want to, it's taxes. Like, I'll take anybody's taxes. However, she got to some of these clients who are like, I don't care if it's legal or not. I just want to not pay taxes. And she, for obvious reasons, was very uncomfortable with that concept. And I'm like, you have to fire this client. You can't give the client what they want, nor is it legally a good choice to give the client what they want. You have to cut that client loose. And it was a hard one for her to get into. But then once she made that step that she was only going to go on the very most up and up, I'm only going to do what's legally allowed, it changed the dynamic of her clients. And she got way better, more aligned clients because she understood that it wasn't the right for both of them. And it's a little bit off of the coaching. However, it's the same concept of if it's not going to be the right fit, it's not the right fit for both of you. And it wasn't the right fit for that person either. That dude really wanted to not pay taxes. And so he needed to find somebody who was a little sleazier. More power to you, dude. I don't like taxes either. So it just wasn't a right fit for either one. He wasn't going to get the results he wanted, and she was going to feel gross if she did what he wanted. So it was best that they made that decision. So same thing with coaching. If it's not the right fit, it's not the right fit. And I've absolutely turned people down or given them better, different solutions. So, I mean, it's normally, you're not the right fit for me, but you know, I don't think I can do what you need me to do, but I have this other set of coaches that actually might be right on the things. And I just had a meeting with a client recently. It was a multi-million dollar business that I wanted so badly to be the right fit for them. However, the problem they had was, though something I can do, I wasn't a specialist in that. And so I'm like, you know what? This other coach that I know is a specialist in that. She'd be a better fit. And they ended up hiring her. And so although it hurt my little soul to turn down that multi-million dollar contract, I wasn't the right fit. I wasn't the right choice. But you know, down the line, if that person comes back and is like, I need help with this now, they're going to think about me because they're like, she didn't try to take my money just to take my money. And that's what you want to, that's the good, happy feeling you want to have when you leave, when you say no to somebody. You want to give them some choices to make it better, because ultimately it's about serving. And if you can't be the one to serve, it's no good for either of you. It's just a money transaction. And that's yucky, even for somebody who likes money.
I think those are all good points for now. So yeah, I think we can go on and on. I think every topic we talk about, we can go on and on about. I mean, this is what makes us who we are. We definitely have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, and we're constantly learning and experiencing. And so if you like this podcast, go ahead and like it and share it with somebody, because we all need coaches and consultants in our life, like business, personal, whatnot. And like I said, like, I think the most I've had is 5 at once. Right now I have 2-ish, kind of, more, but I'll consider it 2. But at the end of the day, we need that. And if we want growth, we have to have somebody who's helping hold us accountable or giving ourselves the right environment to do so. So share this with people in your network to help them kind of navigate if group or solo coaching is good or the best for them, and how to navigate actually interviewing the right fit.
And of course, shameless plug, if we are your people and you want a coach, Lynn and I are always available to talk and do a consult for you. And we also have a group coaching program called the Badass Amplifier. Check it out, badassamplifier.com. And if you're into either of those, you want to hang out with us more, we're here. We're ready. Let's talk.
So it is not, though, for the weak, nor for those that like to sit in victim mode and not do anything. So we're just throwing it out there. We are very clear on who is not our target audience. And we wish you all the best if that is what you do. We are not throwing shade. That's on you. So, but that we wouldn't be the right fit for sure. Anywho,
subscribe, all right, folks, get share, after it.
Yeah, get after it.
All right, everyone, it's not enough to just listen.
Now you've got to put it into action.
We are so excited to see what you do next.
If you enjoyed our show, please leave us a review on iTunes.
And to find out more about what we're doing, visit us at thepursuitofbadassery.com.